Why do so many nations and peoples hate the Jews? Why? Or at least dislike them, even discriminate against them, or have little or no compassion for the Jews, indifferent to their fate or well-being, in lands where they live other than Israel, blaming them, the Jews, for so much and virtually anything that goes wrong. Why? Why? But why do people hate the Jews? What's the reason? Is there a reason or reasons for anti-Semitism? That, of course, as you well know, is on the grow, perhaps becoming as virulent as the old German Nazi anti-Semitism. There are attacks on synagogues, even Jewish delicatessens and grocery stores, Jewish homes. There are both random and systematic attacks on Jewish people simply because they are Jewish. But why? Why? Do you hate or at least dislike the Jew? Is there some anti-Semitism in you and perhaps in all of us? And if so, why? The foremost scholar of anti-Semitism, Robert S. Wistrick, has called anti-Semitism the longest hatred. The longest hatred. Wistrick believed very strongly that anti-Semitism appeared to be metastasizing in the current era, in epidemic form, in his view. Islamization, linked to the terrorist holy war against Jews and other non-Muslims, with its truly lethal consequences and in its fanatical and jihadist form, can be found more or less virtually everywhere. And of course, this new anti-Semitism targets Israel, the only state with a Jewish majority. Wistrick calls Israel the collected Jew. The collected Jew. Isn't that interesting? And then there are the academics, which contain what Wistrick calls the radical left, who have created what, again, Wistrick calls a culture of hatred, an academic-fostered culture of hatred. And that is so radical in tone and content, so as to constitute a new warrant for genocide. Why does academia, at least seemingly the majority of those elitist eggheads, hate or foster hatred for Israel and the Jews? Why? Israel has made every attempt to find peaceful solutions, to live with the Palestinians, even to agree to a Palestinian state with certain terms and conditions and firm borders, all to no avail. It matters not to academia that the goal of radical Islam is to see every Jew in Israel buried at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. That seems to be irrelevant. Iran, for one, builds a bomb primarily for the purpose of destroying Israel in one nuclear holocaust, and otherwise become the leading power in the Middle East, if it not already is. No other Arab or Muslim nation cares one whit about Israel and the Jews, nor does Greece, a bankrupt, unreliable country, which recently demanded that the Star of David be removed from the new Holocaust Museum in the Greek city where some 1,500 Jews were murdered by Nazis. The United Nations, a corrupt and biased body in so many ways, has just labeled Israel the world's top violator of health rights, even though Israeli hospitals have opened their doors to casualties of the civil war in Syria, and in fact the world over. Now, don't bother with that fact. Not to mention the fact that one Mohammad Neza Naghdi, commander of Iran's special parliamentary force, said the following, quote, "The destruction of Israel is non-negotiable," end quote. Once again, the destruction of Israel is non-negotiable. And then there is across the world and in our very own country the so-called boycott, divest, and sanction BDS campaign. The goal, of course, is to damage Israel economically by the boycott of Israeli products and services, the divestment of Israeli assets owned by individuals, corporations, and even nations, and to sanction Israel wherever possible and in all things, no matter whether the reason for doing so is just. The rationale for such irrational actions is nothing more than an antipathy for the collective Jew and Jews individually. Just think of the action of the Presbyterian Church in America, leaders in this irrational movement. They are BDS leaders. Robert S. Wistrick cites another example. Hamas fires missiles at Israeli villages and digs tunnels under Israeli farms to facilitate hostage-taking and mass murder. BDS protagonists and other anti-Semites call that resistance. Unbelievable, isn't it? Resistance. The attempt of Israelis to defend themselves, on the other hand, is called genocide. Genocide. Clear anti-Semitism at work, don't you think? And of course, BDS advocates slander Israel as apartheid. Apartheid. Some of the radical left even call Israelis Nazis. Nazis. Utilizing a verbal tactic, Wistrick terms Holocaust inversion. In short, these radical BDSers accuse Israel of using the same tactics with the same motivations as Nazi Germany. I, for one, find that absolutely unbelievable. How can they do that? These bigots, whether BDS or radical, irrational academia, seem to care little about victims of jihadi head choppers, nor that young girls are enslaved for sex purposes by ISIS or other radical Muslim elements, nor about the killing of gays, hanged or beheaded for what radical Islam calls sodomy, watching only for anything, anywhere, about which they can accuse Israel of something, anything, for further criticism and, of course, BDS action. Hear, my fellow Americans, the words of California State University Professor Khalil. Professor Khalil, he said the following: the real aim of BDS is to bring down the state of Israel. There are those words again. Bring down the state of Israel. There should not be any equivocation on the subject, none whatsoever. Justice and freedom for the Palestinians are incompatible with the existence of the state of Israel. American academia. Professor Khalil at the California State University. And we pay this guy. We, the taxpayers, pay this guy. And that is the statement well expressed which exists in virtually all of academia, more or less, at least in the majority. It is said that history repeats itself. Only 70 years have passed since 6 million Jews were slaughtered by the maniac Hitler and his minions, and now the very same anti-Semitism rears its head and spreads the world over. But why? Why do so many millions upon millions upon millions of people hate the Jews? Why? Exactly why? Do you hate them? Or dislike them? Or distrust them? And then there is President Barack Hussein Obama and his administration. Obama has stated, America has Israel's back. America has Israel's back. But in reality, so many think, as I do, that Obama has turned his back on Israel, filling the air with his usual meaningless platitudes and assurances, all the while doing nothing politically or militarily to help, defend, or champion the right of the state of Israel to exist. Recently, President Obama said that Israel's refusal to renew peace talks with the Palestinian Authority would, quote, make it hard, end quote. Make it hard for the United States to veto motions in the UN, the United Nations, against Israel. Make it hard? How about the same kind of sanctions on the jihadists Hamas and Hezbollah for building tunnels and firing missiles, Mr. Obama? And those statements and that attitude, many think, and so do I, is the real Obama, the one with Muslim roots and influence, daring in his equivocal way to make his demands on Israel, no matter the cost. And that led Israeli Yoram Edinger, longtime Israeli ambassador to Washington, to state the following. This is the president who put a knife in the back of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and embraced the Muslim Brotherhood. And even now, when the Egyptian people have rejected the Brotherhood and embraced the military dictatorship, which now runs the country, Obama is still a lobbyist for the Islamists. End quote. Wow. And then Edinger goes on to say in a fit of rage, I wouldn't buy a used car from this man. That is, Mr. Obama. He must have been awfully angry. Obama, Edinger says, should be the last man to urge Israel to sacrifice their security to match his worldview. He says, We, the Israelis, we cannot afford to be sucked into his fantasy. We must deal with our reality, which is clearly the opposite of Obama's worldview. One thing to be said for him is that he never lets reality get in the way of his worldview. Amen to that. History will yet judge him for these massive failures, and may it be so. Personally, I applaud Ambassador Edinger for his forthrightness and his courage in stating what millions know to be the fact, the real Obama. Some even go so far as to say that Obama has his own brand of anti-Semitism. Shadowy and concealed, of course, but real nonetheless. Edinger and so many other Israelis really believe that Obama wants Iran to achieve nuclear capability for further leverage against or actual use of nuclear weapons to force concessions or even ultimate defeat of the Jewish nation. And then there is Roman Catholic Pope Francis. This man, an acknowledged anti-capitalist, a true socialist, gave Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas a medal, saying to Abbas, "May you be an angel of peace." Abbas? An angel of peace? Surely, Holy Father, you jest. Surely you jest. Abbas is no more an angel of peace than the old angel Lucifer. One has to wonder if the old anti-Semitism, which permeated the Roman Catholic Church in the Second World War days, may be returning in some subtle form. Catholicism, in addition, clings tenaciously to the heresy of replacement theology, that is, the Church, the Roman Catholic Church especially, is the new people of God, replacing Israel and the Jews, negating the covenant promise of God to Abraham and his descendants so many years ago. That is so dead wrong. Even more hostility, if not anti-Semitism, leveled against Israel, not only by Protestant Christians such as the Presbyterians, but indirectly and subtly by the Roman Catholic Church itself. Everything is so indirect today. Not a good time to be Jewish, is it? Recently, Israel conducted elections. The conservative Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu became Prime Minister for yet another term, forming a right-wing coalition government by a slim majority of 61 seats out of 120 Knesset seats. Netanyahu finalized his government with 90 minutes to spare before the deadline to do so. The Netanyahu coalition, which controls the Knesset, is made up of hardline and religious parties that could create struggles with settlement and peace agendas. But these are Israeli men and women in this governing coalition who understand the realities. The grave, massive, and anti-Semitic forces which seek the total destruction of the state of Israel. The Jewish state. They realize there can never be any successful negotiations. No peace, no real opportunity to create a Palestinian state, for such negotiations have been attempted time and time again to no avail. Negotiations for peace go nowhere because the Palestinians and the Arab and Muslim world have no interest in peaceful coexistence, but rather the annihilation of the Jewish state, the total annihilation of the Jewish state. Iran and other radical Muslim states and individuals have stated that such an end, such a goal, such a result is non-negotiable. Bye-bye, Jews. It is interesting, my fellow Americans, to compare the words and the conduct, especially the conduct of Barack Hussein Obama, with former President Harry Truman. Mr. Truman said the following, "I had faith in Israel before it was established. I have faith in it now. I believe it has a glorious future before it, not just another sovereign nation, but as an embodiment of the great ideas of the civilization." Have you heard anything even close to that from Obama or his minions? Or compare the words of former President Ronald Reagan to that of Mr. Obama. Reagan said the following, "Since the foundation of the State of Israel, the United States has stood by her and helped her to pursue security, peace, and economic growth. Our friendship, America's friendship, is based on historic, moral, and strategic ties, as well as our shared dedication to democracy." Ronald Reagan. Have you heard anything even close to that from Barack Hussein Obama? And hear the words of Franklin Graham, son, of course, of the one-of-a-kind Billy Graham. I support Israel, not only because I worship a Jew, but because of what the Bible says about Israel and the future of Israel. Again, I, says Franklin Graham, support Israel, not only because I worship a Jew. Did you get that? But because of what the Bible says about Israel and the future of Israel. Sure don't hear anything like that from Obama, do you? The Abrahamic covenant is real. It cannot be replaced, negotiated, or done away with. Gentiles, Christians, are participants in this covenant only by grace. In fact, the God of Abraham makes it quite clear that those who bless Israel will in turn be blessed, and those who curse Israel will in turn be cursed. That promise is real, and it will happen by divine timetable, not ours. It is therefore both the duty and the privilege of Gentiles and Christians to be pro-Israel in that covenant sense, to be Zionists at heart, promoting and supporting Jewish Aliyah and the return of the Jews to the Promised Land, and to combat anti-Semitism with passion. The choice is blessing or cursing from the God of Abraham and the father of that man from Nazareth. The covenant with Abraham implies at least two major responsibilities of Christians and Gentiles to the Jewish people in general. The Christian church, knowing God's covenantal faithfulness, must support the Jewish people and pray for them. Support and pray. Support is political, military, defense and security, cultural and economic. Support means wholehearted, unconditional support of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. And they're not perfect. Who is? But they deserve our support and our prayers. And secondly, there must be continual and respectful dialogue regarding the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. Debate and discussion with regard to the Messiah and the love and forgiveness he offers. That debate must be respectful and loving, but real, but real. Gentiles and Christians should support the return of the Jewish people, any or all of them as they wish, to the Holy Land. The promise of God, respecting and enabling the ingathering of the Jews, now in diaspora, as God would have it. The Gentile and Christian world must stand up against anti-Semitism wherever it is found, and in any form it rears its ugly, disastrous, and vicious head. That should be a matter of privilege, but in fact, it is a divine duty. It is time for right-thinking men and women, so different than the biased, hateful, radical approach of so much of academia, to stand up and be heard and do everything possible to defeat anti-Semitism wherever it may be. I pray that you are one of them, as I am. Choose now, my fellow Americans, whether to seek the blessing of God by supporting the Jew or the curse of the God of Abraham by opposing or hating the Jew. I choose the former, and I pray you do as well. Ah, may the God of Abraham pour out his abundant blessings upon this sovereign nation, Israel, and his chosen people, the Jews.